IFPRI Policy Seminar, Transformation of Economies in Africa, held on Thursday, June 14, 2012, in Washington, D.C. Speaker Mwangi Kimenyi, Senior Fellow and Director of the Africa Growth Initiative, the Brookings Institute.
Thank you very much for inviting me, and thank you, Your Excellency and Shanta, for that presentation. You said that you are here with experts, but you didn't use any notes. And myself and Shanta are looking at our notes. Yet you told a coherent story. So you are the expert in this. So I appreciate being here. Unfortunately, I have not actually in my best of elements. We were in chat with Shanta last week in Arusha, and I think I arrived Sunday. And I was with a friend of mine on Friday night, and by the time I put on my BlackBerry when I arrived, I'm reading that he just crashed with a plane, so, and I'm on my way to a funeral, so, to Kenya, ministers, I thought. Yeah, so, it's been a very tough time, but, so, in any case, I always attend these forums with Shanta, and he always goes before me, and I have very limited staff, so I have to sort of hunt around to see what it
next
is.
Time we're
we'll change the order. So yeah, that's good. But the story of economic growth in Africa has been quite it's been interesting for various reasons. Not just because of the high rates of growth that several countries have attained, but also because it's not the commodity story. Per se. Yeah, well, you do have commodities playing a part. If you remove Equatorial Guinea, remove Angola, where a lot of those is basically natural resource driven, you still get good stories. You get Ghana, you get Tanzania, you get Ethiopia. Those are not natural resource driven growth. So it's a different story. So in a way, it's not just high growth, but it's also, if you think about quality of growth, is also different. There's been a change in the growth rate. For one, I think we see more diversified economies, as we said. You know, countries have diversified. So I'm starting with some good things. Maybe I'll add up bad things. We see, for example, some countries where the contribution to growth through adoption of technologies. And, you know, we keep talking about Kenya case where we have the mobile technologies being major driver of growth, not other things. You know, I would say like the last couple of years, the main source, one of the primary sources of growth has been the use of technologies. And we are not going beyond, talking about the money transfers. We are talking about more than that, expanding to insurance, medical, and so on. So these are changes that are happening in Africa. In fact, some of these poor countries are leading the way in some of these technology adoptions. I know that U.S. have been trying to look at, you know, can we use some of these mobile technologies to do transfers and so on? Which countries can we learn from and so on? So these have been changes in the way in terms of the sources of growth. In addition, there have been some sectors. If you look at each country, and Shanta has stories and stories of those, but you go to every country, you are going to find some sectors that do very well. In fact, you find sectors that have transformed so well that it's amazing. Okay, so you will go to Kenya and look at the flower, the horticultural sector, you know, quite high transformation. You go to others where they are doing well in some form of textiles and so on. So. And Ethiopia now has joined in terms of also some of those areas of transformation. So there are pockets in these countries where we have received, we have seen transformation. But I am not yet comfortable to talk about the transformation of African economies. I can't at this point say that, you know, we have seen transformation of, we have seen growth. But we haven't seen transformation. If you think about transformation in terms of structural transformation, yeah, some sectors yet. So if you think about where the most of the people are, you know, 60 to 70% of the population, and you go to the rural areas, you will find that productivity is the same that it was several years ago. Low productivity, low skills, low application of inputs and technologies. Basically, there is no transformation for most of these places. And one of the things that when we've been doing this surveys that Shanta have been talking about on catching teachers who are absent, because you have to do this, like you have to go there unannounced and see who is there or not. You know, it's like you are inspector or something. You have to go to these rural areas. And that's one of the things that I've been doing, going to rural Kenya, rural Tanzania. And you find that when you get out, you know, these transformed sectors, our agriculture remains the same. In fact, I went to where I went to school, and I was amazed because I think their productivity may even have gone down because there are more people, they are subdividing. So, yeah, so there's still very limited transformation. Then the other issue, or even where we have had where we had rapid growth rates, we don't have shared growth. We have seen a lot of cases where the growth has been high. I talk about my country, for example, where it's true some people have benefited. It's true when you go to Nigeria, there are some people who are doing well, but the majority of people are very poor. I think Nigeria, you know, for example, I think the last statistics I saw for Nigeria is the poverty rates are still about 60%. If you go to Equatorial Guinea, you get the same story. These are the richest countries. So even where you have growth, some people doing very well, we don't have shared growth. And I was asked to talk about how do we get transformation for shared growth, not just transformation, but transformation for shared, yeah. So how do we get this broad-based growth, or what we have normally referred to as inclusive growth? In my view, there are several opportunities. We can think about industry, and we can think about agriculture. And I'll be on the side of starting with agriculture. But let me tell the industry story. And again, I think in another panel where we ended up with Shanta, we were talking about transformation through right manufacturing. The idea, well, these case studies that have been conducted in Africa, showing the opportunities that Africa has to transform the economies, not going to the heavy manufacturing that we tended to start with and we didn't have any advantage, but looking at areas where you can match our labor, our skills, our resources to this right manufacturing. And there were some good reasons why right manufacturing could actually be a route to transformation. One is that countries in East Asia, let's say China, for example, that has been dominating this market, the wages are going up. And as wages going up, China is going to lose comparative advantage. And that will mean Africa has an opportunity to invest in these areas and transform the economies. We have a young, reasonably educated labor force. Actually, of course, there are those they are from His Excellency's country, unemployed union of graduates. We have this pool of young people and educated who are available to do this type of work. Africa has also what we are now calling the middle class, a sizable middle-income group that is a consumer class that could be the first source to consume this type of goods. Finally, Africa is actually serious about opening her borders to the neighbors. The issue of enlarging the market, increasing the size of economies through intra-Africa trade will allow Africa to exploit what we call regional value chains. And that will help this development of these light industries. And I would say that also, that we have an opportunity now in terms of the IT revolution in a way. It's creeping in. We have the fiber optic cables all over. Most of the time, internet in these poor countries is faster than some places, even, I don't want to say here, but some places, yeah. So some countries you go, internet is very fast. And so if we can be able to exploit these opportunities. So there is an opportunity to go through that route. But I think to me, in terms of sustainable structural transformation that also is broad-based, that will give us broad-based growth, I will go for agriculture. I'm going to give two very quick examples and contrast them and see how they may work. First, Let's take the cut flowers industry, which has been successful in a lot of countries. In these industries, what you have is a heavy investment in capital, but employing a lot of people who are low wage. So you get high volume of exports to Netherlands of these flowers and Europe and so on, and employing a lot of people who are low wage and low skill, so you create jobs. So there is transformation in the production of the cut flowers, but in terms of creating broad-based growth, it's not happening. This is captured by the owners, most of the owners, the capital. The wages are very low, and these people, and they don't help even the next neighbor. There is no linkage between the cut flower industry and the next farmer there. Well, they will have money and they will consume, which is good. I'm not saying cut flowers are bad. I'm just saying that's one case where you can get transformation, but you may not spread the benefits as wide. Now, this April, I visited a farm in Malawi. Of course, coming to Ifri, where people are always in the farms, this may look like no big deal, but for some of us, it's a big deal because I went there specifically to see this. This is the Clinton Foundation Anchor Farm, which is in Malawi. And what it does is a commercial farm, started to be commercially viable, producing ground seeds. It's working more on seeds, groundnut, soy, maize. But in addition to that, it's leveraging its market power to support thousands of farmers. So first of all, seeds quality is assured. They access inputs jointly. The farm buys together. These farmers are not subsidized, but they use the farm as the agent, as the one that is negotiating for the inputs, and the seeds are assured, and then the market access and financing. They negotiate with the bank that we want you to, you know, these farmers will sign individual contracts, but we want you to give these farms, the farmers, I don't know if you know that. Anyway, then there's the marketing. They negotiate with a big buyer. I think it's a South African buyer for out of this soy. And so I decided, no, I have to see this. Quite, we didn't need Clinton to go there and do this. We could have at least thought of this. So I went there. And it's true. These farmers are actually now exporting. They are exporting. They are competitive. They are actually going to the next stage. From a very subsistent production, they are commercial farmers now. They are talking about even processing. So what do I want to say here? You can have particular, you need to think about what it is that is going to transform your community. Not just because you produce cut flowers and export, is what are the linkages that you have with the local economy. And I think we can be more creative and do this. So there are pockets of success there, but there are many ways we could structure. I know if Bri knows about all these models, but to me I was impressed that we can actually use, be more creative, work with the small farmers, make sure they get the inputs, the good inputs. Don't necessarily subsidize them. That story about subsidizing is not really a good story. Make sure that they get the best deal, but market. So in terms of my focus to transform is that we need to focus on productivity. We need to think about markets. We need to make sure the government is working in terms of, you know, this have to work, and the private sector has to be involved. So thank you very much.
Well, thank you.